Go ahead. Poke the Blair. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we'll have preseason hockey for you tonight on Sportsnet 360 at 9 o'clock. The San Jose Sharks against the Vancouver Canucks. Don't forget tomorrow night, 7 to 9:30 in Sportsnet 360. The Kraft Hockeyville game from lovely Sylvan Lake, Alberta. The Arizona Coyotes against the Calgary Flames. I'm betting we have a Lyndon Rush sighting at Sylvan Lake. I mean, I'm hoping we do. The Leafs beat the Flyers 3-2 in a shootout win in London last night. The two teams will meet again tonight at the Air Canada Centre. The Leafs will probably have a few more of their veterans in the lineup tonight. Nazem Kadri made the trip to London to his, I don't know, what do you call it, an alma mater, if it's a junior hockey team? I don't know. Whatever. Alma Jr. It's his hometown. All right. Was it to his hometown? That's good enough. And had a good game. Watched the game on online while I was at the Jays game. I thought he, David Booth, Peter Holland, had a really good game. There was a line at one point of Josh Levo, Kadri, and Booth that was really effective, and they were out at the same time in the power play, and it was a very effective unit. And I know it's only preseason. I know you can't read that much into it. Chris Johnson is our NHL insider at Sportsnet. You can follow him at Reporter Chris. He's all over the place on the website, sportsnet.ca. And Chris Johnson joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Chris, before we get to Nazem Kadri, want to ask you, pardon me, about this report out of the Czech Republic via SI that it appears as if there are further steps taken. There have been further steps taken towards setting up a bona fide World Cup of hockey. What are your sources telling you about this? I know it's something. I had a sit down with Donald Fehr 3 years ago, and he spent an awful lot of time talking about his vision for a World Cup. I think it's an absolute necessity. I think it would be a great thing. What are you hearing about it?
Well, this is absolutely happening in 2016, in the lead up before training camp, August, September type of year. And really, you know, I don't think certainly the league and the Players Association are at a place where they're ready to announce anything. The tack that they've chosen to take with this is that they want everything absolutely signed, sealed, and delivered. You know, who's in, you know, how the teams that have to qualify get in, venues, dates, all that set up. But it's happening, and you know, I think I reported during the Cup Final as well that it's going to happen in Toronto. It does sound now that there's a possibility of Montreal hosting some of the games as well, although, you know, I don't think that's quite sealed at this moment. But, you know, I think it's a great thing for the sport. It makes a lot of sense. You know, the league thinks that it could generate as much as $100 million in revenue, which would be split between the owners and the players. Wouldn't impact the salary cap in any way, so that's all just bonus money in everyone's pockets. And I think, you know, from that perspective, it is a no-brainer once they get the logistics worked out.
Right, and it's probably not a big surprise, those of us who know Donald Fehr from his time in baseball. First of all, he is an internationalist when it comes to sports. He's been involved in the U.S. Olympic Committee. He was the driving force behind the creation of the World Baseball Classic, which, you know, we can sit here and say it's been a mixed success. It's been really popular in Asia, probably less so in North America. But nonetheless, it was on his watch that those plans were put in place. And this is something that is really dear to his heart. And I'm with you. I mean, I think it's got the potential. I mean, I'm going to leave aside what it means for the Olympics right now, because I don't know if the NHL's really figured out where they're going to go there. But I've never thought, Chris, the two have to be. I've never looked at them as being mutually exclusive like some people have.
No, I don't think they are. And you know, the other thing with Donald Fehr to keep in mind, Jeff, is that he presides over a constituency that's, you know, is quite European. I believe 30 to 35%, somewhere in that range, is the percentage of NHL players that come from outside North America. And you know, I think that as a result, that the NHL is a pretty unique opportunity to hold events like this. And you know, in talking to players, you know, I know that the union sees this as an important issue. You know, I think guys like pulling on their country's jersey and playing in events like this. And as I mentioned, the fact that both sides view this is something that can make a lot of money, that's why it's certain to happen. And, you know, the Olympic conversation is still, you know, to be had, from what I understand. And you're right, I don't think they're necessarily tied together. Although at some point, you know, I do think a wider global strategy is something the NHL and the NHLPA want to work out, whether it's, you know, holding the games in Europe, the Premier Games, as they were called, that they had a couple of years ago and haven't had since the 2012-13 lockout, and just sort of what the overall strategy is for trying to expand the game beyond the places where it's played now.
Chris Johnson joins us in the Jeff Blair Show. You can follow Chris on Twitter, at Reporter Chris. Nazem Kadri, as I said, had a good game last night. The Leafs beat the Philadelphia Flyers. Look, Chris, a lot of people have said going into training camp that this is a big year for Nazem Kadri. It clearly is, both in terms of contract, well, in terms of what his future is going to hold, in terms of the type of player he's going to be. Is this, do you think, a bigger season for him than last season was?
Absolutely. You know, no question in my mind that this is the biggest season yet of his career. And you know, when players are young, and this is the same for Nazem 3, 4, 5 years ago after the Leafs drafted him, there's a lot of focus on, you know, can they make the team initially? And obviously in his case, he didn't. Can they make an impact initially? But more realistically, when we're dealing with guys that aren't named Sidney Crosby, it takes a few years for them to become impact players. And that's what we've seen happen with Nazem Kadri. I know that the Leafs still want more. You know, that they caution against you know, too much praise being heaped in his direction. But the, you know, the facts show he had 44 points in a 48-game season after the lockout. As a 22-year-old last year, he had 50 points. You know, as a centerman in the NHL, that's a pretty good mark for someone as young as he is. And if he can keep taking steps and you know, potentially emerge as a guy the Leafs are comfortable with having as their number one center, you know, that's gravy. That'll make him one of the best Leaf prospects in a long time around here. Because, you know, as you know, one thing this organization hasn't done is necessarily develop higher-end, you know, skill players particularly well, or draft them over the years. And, you know, especially with it being a contract year for Nazem, I think that's something, you know, he's very aware of. And, you know, he doesn't shy away from saying that he wants the big money, he wants the spotlight, and he's going to have to go out and earn it with his performance this season.
Yeah, it's when Brendan Shanahan took over, or when Tim Lewicki gave him his new position, I was talking to a guy around the team who suggested that he thought, and it was kind of an odd suggestion at the time, although now we know with the new assistant coaches and there, maybe it makes more sense. He thought that Nazem Kadri might actually be a guy who was really going to profit from having kind of that, having Brendan Shanahan in there, a new set of eyes sort of looking at him, as opposed to David Nonis. We know Nonis is still the GM, but clearly Shanahan's going to play some role in this. So will Kyle Dubas. And this guy's point was, this might be the best thing for Nazem Kadri in this city. New assistant coaches, a new overseer, a different voice in the assistant GM's office that might actually allow Nazem Kadri almost to have a fresh start.
Yeah, I mean, all that is true. And again, I'm not entirely sure he needs a fresh start. I mean, I think sometimes we get caught up in remembering all the, you know, there was a lot of speculation about Nazem, or a lot of you know, talk about him. You know, you remember a few years ago when he was with the Marlies, and Dallas Eakins said on the first day of training camp that he reported fat. And, you know, he's always kind of been dogged by this sort of talk. But again, I think if you compare him to his peers and where he's at in his age for a centerman in the NHL, he's you know, he's above average. That's for sure. At 23 years of age, this will be his 24-year-old season. And, you know, I just think that this guy's well positioned to have a breakout type of year for the Leafs. I could see him being someone I lean on more as time goes on. I mean, what's been interesting is that Randy Carlyle has sort of talked about the notion of breaking up what was the first line last year. And to this point, it seems largely he's focused on left wing, you know, perhaps putting Joffrey Lupo up there with Kessel and Tyler Bozak. But I wonder if, you know, as part of this process, if they're experimenting with you know, all new combinations, which, you know, when the Leafs play their first game on October 8th, it's entirely possible all the forward lines, all the defense pairings will be different from what they were a year ago. you know, I have to wonder at some point if maybe Nazem Kadri finds a way into that spot. But, you know, regardless of whether he's a first-line center or a second-line center for the Leafs, you know, it's clear that he's an important player for the team, and he's going to have a big impact on what kind of year it is here for the Leafs.
Chris, what do you think Peter Holland's upside is with this organization? I thought he was particularly effective last night.
You know, this is an interesting player, I think, for where the Leafs are at right now, because, you know, a lot of the depth guys that they brought in this summer, you know, be it Daniel Winnick or Mike Santarelli or Petri Kontula, who they brought over from Russia, the Finnish centerman, are guys that have played some center but are also options on the wing. And, you know, obviously with Peter Holland being a center as well, you know, it's not quite clear at this moment where he fits into the thinking. And I think the thinking has to be twofold because, you know, with him, he's not played a full season in the NHL. Last year, his time spent with the Leafs was, in fact, his longest sort of stretch in the league, but he's shown he can be a dominant player in the American Hockey League. So, you know, at this point, he's almost an in-betweener, but at his age, that isn't necessarily a bad thing. It'll be a matter for the Leafs of if they're willing maybe to be patient with him and give him a spot and you know, try to help him along, or if you know, some of those more veteran guys that I mentioned wind up sort of taking his role in the lineup and he might have to go back to the Marlies. I mean, right now, that isn't clear. We really haven't seen enough in training camp to know how things are going to shake out. But he's one of the more interesting guys, I think, to follow in camp because, you know, I believe he should probably have a spot in the NHL. But with all the forwards they have up there, if he doesn't show well during this couple of weeks, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe someone else beat him out to start the year and he had to take a step back that he doesn't really want to take at this point.
Chris, it was good to join us this morning. Thanks so much.
Hey, no problem, Jeff. Thank you.
DeCara, that is Chris Johnson of Sportsnet. He's our NHL insider. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at ReporterChris. If you're not already doing that, shame on you. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. I have a conversation about Nazem Kadri, I think. Chris Johnson making the point that this is a significant season for Nazem Kadri. You know, I was kind of having a little bit of fun with it in the last hour because it seems like it's a sort of regular topic of conversation around here. But you know what? That doesn't mean that it's not a legitimate topic of conversation. Even after the first preseason game. Because I'll tell you what. I guarantee you if Nazem Kadri had stunk last night, we'd be talking about the same thing. I mean, if you looked at that lineup last night, by and large, with the exception of David Booth and Morgan Rielly and Peter Holland, it was a lineup full of guys who were kind of on the cusp or on the outside looking in, if you want to put it that way. Nazem Kadri was kind of the guy out there that you viewed as being able to play a pretty significant role this year. And he played well against a Flyers team that it was a mixed bag. The Flyers split their squad up. They had a game against Washington. So, but, you know, there was Wayne Simmonds and there were a few other Flyers regulars. Shen was there and it wasn't a complete Flyers B team. I want to have this conversation about Nazem Kadri because now I find Nazem Kadri to be an intriguing guy. And I'm beginning to think that all these new eyes in the organization, Kyle Dubas, whose background is, of course, with the Ontario Hockey League, Brendan Shanahan, the new assistant, Peter Horacek, Steve Spott would know Nazem Kadri, although I don't believe Spott was there when Kadri was with the Marlies. He's certainly aware of him. Now it's not just Randy Carlisle looking at Nazem Kadri. Now it's not just Randy Carlisle's assistants who may be similarly minded looking at Nazem Kadri. It's a new group, a new set of eyes. Analytics guys. There is going to be a different decision-making process around this organization going forward. And I want to know if you think this will help Nazem Kadri. I don't pretend to be able to sit here and judge Nazem Kadri through the eyes of an analytics, a hockey analytics expert. I just don't. But do you think that things are lining up pretty well for Nazem Kadri this year. Even though Randy Carlisle's back, he's got new assistant coaches. Brendan Shanahan's at the top. As I said, Kyle Dubas is the assistant general manager. Are you beginning to think that things might be lining up for Nazem Kadri this year? I know it's only one preseason game. But Nazem Kadri is a frequent topic of discussion in the city. Do you think that things are lining up for him? 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. If you want to join the conversation on social media, use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. Peter Evers, have any catchers ever tried using a modern cricket helmet instead of the mask? Twitter. I'm sorry, first thing that popped up in Twitter when I looked at it. No idea where that's going. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Chris Johnson also confirming the report on SI.com out of a Czech media outlet that, in fact, the World Cup of Hockey will be held in the lead up to the 2016 season. Probably not a huge surprise. I'm a big fan of the concept of the World Cup of Hockey. I'm a huge fan of it. We're going to talk to Greg Wyshynski about it later on. We'll take your calls on that then as well, because I'm a big, big fan of international hockey, and I love the concept of a World Cup. I'm ready to move on from the Olympics, to be honest, and I'm much more interested in seeing the World Cup of Hockey. Matt in Hamilton. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Matt?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Mike?
Who am I speaking with?
Bye-bye. Long-time listener. 416-870-0590. *590 with 888-666-0590. It could be Wilner. He thought he was on with Wilner. You never know. Or maybe he thought he was talking to Mike in Brampton. Do you think that's possible? 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Mike in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Mike? Hey, Mike.
Brantford.
Whatever. It's got Brampton down here. Guy. Travis, get your you-know-what together. Will you at least ask the callers if they know which freaking show they're listening to, Travis? Jesus. Anyhow, go ahead, Matt.
I'm an old fart, and
my condolences.
Yeah.
I know what it feels like.
Well, you're a young guy, but so.
Huh?
Yeah.
What? I'm 54.
Well, young fart. Analytics, I have always assumed from hearing it so much, right, that it's for bringing the guys up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to kind of wonder how they use it when the eyes are finally on him, because it's guys like Carlisle and all that, don't they have to say, well, you know, this guy's doing this and he's not doing that. And I don't know where analytics would come in on that.
Yeah, this is going to be a fascinating storyline this year with the Leafs, because there's a danger here in that everybody's just assumed that Randy Carlisle's this dinosaur. We've just assumed this.
Like him.
Well, there's a lot I like about Randy Carlisle, too. I'm not certain he's the right coach for this team, but in terms of Randy Carlisle, the person, it's pretty hard not to like him.
They all have shelf life, too.
Well, they do, but this is going to be an interesting scenario with this organization, because it's going to provide a new way of analyzing productivity. In other words, I think there are going to be players. We may be watching the game. We may be seeing one thing. There are going to be players that I think analytics are going to treat very favorably. And I don't pretend to know enough about it to know if Nazem Kadri is the type of guy. But who would be an analytics favorite? I don't know. But what I think analytics can also do is, and I had a conversation with somebody about this, a baseball analytics guy, one of the things I think analytics can do is pinpoint areas of weakness in a player's game that may not be obvious, or that if they are obvious, it may just be a coach thinking, how come every time I see this guy in this particular situation, he doesn't seem to be doing anything? Analytics can provide evidence to back that up. And I'll tell you another thing analytics can do. If you're a player and a coach says something to you, never underestimate the importance of being able to put a paper in front of somebody and say, look, this is what the numbers show. This is what they show about your game. This is your strength. This is your weakness. This is what we would like you to aim for. This is what the league average is. This is what most players in the NHL do. I mean, it sounds silly. It sounds silly, but it's like anything else. If you can give people a graphic or a written or a tactile example of evidence supporting your point of view, it makes a big difference than if you just go up to the guy and say, you know what, I don't think you have the puck enough. Oh, really? I don't think you do enough with the puck when you have it. Oh. It's one thing to do that and another thing to say, here, look at the numbers. Draw your own conclusion. And I think we really underestimate how important it is for an athlete to have evidence, because these are all people with huge egos. You do not get to be a professional athlete in any sport unless you've got a huge ego, a healthy ego. That's fine. But you need, when you're dealing with people like that, at times you need to be able to say, look, this isn't just me talking. This isn't just the coach talking. This isn't just the same voice that was on your ass last year because you were heavy telling you this. This is what the numbers say. This is what new people in our organization think about you. It is going to be fascinating to see that play out. Fitz in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff.
Morning, Fitz.
You know, it's a great day to be a Leafs fan. They're undefeated. We should start planning the parade route now, get ahead of it. But just on the point of analytics, I think it will be good for Kadri, mm-hmm. the points you made. But what I'm not sure about, maybe you know this, but how do they take that information or that data now and get that to the coaching staff so now they can build drills or practice or training to help them shorten those weak falls or those areas?
Because yeah, I don't.
My only hope.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the coaching staff would have to be open to it, in the sense you get from hearing Peter Horacek talk and Steve Spott. And by the way, thank you, Jesse Michael, pointing out Spott was with Kitchener Rangers organization when Kadri was playing with him. So that even kind of gets to my point a little bit. We don't know yet how the organization is going to process this information. Part of the issue is we have a general manager, David Nonis, who's sort of had all his assistants removed from him. What we have is a head coach who's had his assistants removed from him, a general manager who's had his lieutenants removed from him, a new guy above everybody in Brandon Shanahan, and a new assistant GM that people seem to think is more than just a numbers guy. They seem to think that Kyle Dubas is the type of guy who may develop into a general manager's role. So we don't know where the flow of information is going to get bogged down. In every organization, you've got a flow of information, right? This guy finds this out. It goes on to him. Boom, it gets here. We really don't know yet how that will work with the Leafs, and we need to see it. And I am fully prepared for sometime in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks to hear that there's some sort of issue in the Leafs front office involving the analytics people. I don't know if it's going to be true or not, but I'm fully prepared to hear that. We need to see the way that plays out. We need to see how the information the analytics people are coming up with, how that is put into place by the hockey people. And there has to be a learning curve. There has to be a period of growth in that area. It's not... you can't just throw everybody together and say, well, we're on the same page. Even if you think you're on the same page, you're not on the same page. Nothing happens until there's that moment where the rubber hits the road, right? Where you have to make a call on a player or you have to make a call in a certain situation. That's where people stand up and say, look, I think this. Somebody else stands up and says, no, you're full of BS. I think this. That's where you find out if an organization is going to work. Chris in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing this morning?
Good, man.
Excellent. I watched the game last night. I was a little disappointed in the Leafs' lack of fitness third period. After the first 5 minutes, they looked really bogged down. They weren't chasing the puck, and it looked like the Flyers had a little bit more go. I think we got lucky to tie the game, and that's a bit of a concern. Of course, hey, I know it's the first game of the year, right? But still, I wonder if maybe there should be fewer preseason games and more drills, more work in the gym, and a more organized off-season regimen. Could that be something that comes out of Mr. Dubas's new role here?
I don't know about that. I'm going to direct you to Elliot Friedman's 30 Thoughts article in sportsnet.ca. You should be reading it anyhow because it's the best. It's terrific. But his article on sportsnet.ca kind of takes the opposite approach. It talks to a lot of people in hockey, including Gary Roberts, about whether or not guys are spending too much time training in the offseason. Kind of counterintuitive. I mean, baseball's gone through this discussion a lot. There's training, and then there's training. There are people who tell you that instead of just lifting weights, you're almost better advised to do yoga and stuff like that to stay in shape. And it's a fascinating piece. And as Elliot points out, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Drew Doughty, Claude Giroux, Nathan Horton, Tyler Bozak, David Clarkson, Jonathan Drouin. These are guys who are already hurt. It's an interesting article. Interviews several people, including Anthony Bell's, the Toronto strength and conditioning coach. I would suggest you read it, because I watched the game last night, and the first thing I noticed was the fact that the Leafs didn't have a lot of their NHL players out there. So I don't know if what we're seeing is a team that isn't in shape. I tend to doubt that, because I think all these guys show up in shape. It was a team that wasn't in shape, or it was just a team full of guys that should be in the American Hockey League. But your point about workouts is interesting, and Elliot Friedman's 30 Thoughts addresses that in particular and maybe gives you a bit of a different slant on it. Jason in Shelburne, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Mr. Blair, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Jason.
Good, good. Analytics, as they pertain to Kadri, you know, to be honest with you, Jeff, I'll call me an old fart or whatever the hell it is, but I don't know if these analytics are going to help Kadri or any other player. You know why? Because I don't understand these new fandangled analytics, Corsi and Fenwick. You know, I wish somebody would explain these to me, but, you know, if they're going to bring us more wins, well, you know, I'm down with that. Bring it on. But, you know, I just don't understand these things.
The only thing you can do, Jason, I'm dead serious about this, is go online and read. Because it's a relatively new field. And I can't, honest to God, I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I cover baseball a lot, so I like to think I'm kind of well-versed in statistics. There's a lot of times that my eyes just glaze over when people start talking about baseball statistics. I don't have that much emotionally invested in the game that I'm going to get into a debate about statistics that I don't understand. A lot of people love doing that. A lot of people call up Wilner's show and drop war on him, and God love Wilner, because Wilner says, well, explain war to me. And you get this long pause, right? Like, the guy can't explain it. But the only thing I can suggest is going online and reading it and, you know, making up your own mind. It's just another avenue of information that kind of goes in the big pot, that goes into the big pie, that determines how you look at a player.
I I get that, and I'll have to read up on it myself. But you know, I'm more of an intangibles guy. You know, is the guy, you know, can the guy skate up the ice? Can he make a good first pass? Is he responsible in his own end? You know, has he got some leadership qualities? Intangibles is what I'm about. But you know, if you know, I'm willing to take a stab at these new analytics and stats and whatnot, and try and understand them. But you know, call me old school. You know, I want to see some intangibles on the ice.
Yeah, you know what, Jason? I appreciate the call. You're not old school. There are intangibles. There are. I don't know how you quantify them, but there are times where you have to go with what your eyes tell you. You just have to. Guy looks like he's not doing anything. I think what analytics will do is it will show you the degree to which the guy is not doing anything. In a lot of instances, it's really funny. Again, I'm using my baseball as a reference point. It is amazing how often statistics support what you already know or what you already thought about a player. I love Derek Jeter as a player. I realized years ago that he was not a Gold Glove shortstop. My eyes told me that. He made some great plays. Sure, he made some highlight reel plays, but he didn't get to a lot of balls. And advanced statistics, if you want to call it that, analytics, prove that to be true. It really, that's what I would tell hockey fans who are struggling with the concept. Remember that it's a relatively new field. It's still developing. And as I've told people, there are going to be stats 2 years down the road. There are going to be stats we're talking about now. We're going to look back at them and go, God, what a waste. Because stats, like anything else, morph into something else. They take on different interpretations. Some of them will fall by the wayside. We've seen this all in baseball. Some of the stats stand the test of time. Other stats just, you know, they're discussion points. That is normal. That is the normal evolution of analytics in sports. And hockey and soccer are probably the sports right now that are where analytics is really, really, really percolating. Baseball, it's kind of reached a point of critical mass a while ago. Same, I would argue, with basketball. The NFL, I don't know. They're too busy beating each other up. So, but hockey is getting to the point where other sports were. And all I'll tell fans is keep an open mind and don't be surprised if a lot of the stuff you hear supports what you already see. This is why it's stupid to put up blinders or to put up roadblocks to analytics, because the assumption is that analytics are going to make me look like an idiot. That's not true. You'd be surprised how many instances there will be where analytics will support what you think of an individual. I used to think Frank Wren was a pretty good GM. I still do. Clearly the Atlanta Braves don't. The Atlanta Braves fired Frank Wren as general manager after a couple of first place finishes, a couple of second place finishes. John Hart has been brought in to serve in the position in the interim. In the meantime, they will begin a general manager search. Mark Bradley is a columnist with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and Mark Bradley will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Don't forget, we'll have preseason NHL hockey on Sportsnet 360. The San Jose Sharks and Vancouver Canucks tonight at 9 bells. Of course, we will have the second game of the Jays-Mariners series. First pitch at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan and Sportsnet. The Jays looking to... they're looking to administer a bit of a death blow, frankly, to the Seattle Mariners and their playoff chances. And Felix Hernandez on the mound for the Mariners tonight against R.A. Dickey. And don't know what's happened to the Mariners starting pitching. They've kind of gone on fumes in the last 2 weeks. So we'll see what tonight's game holds. It should be a great matchup. Ari Dickey against Felix Hernandez. So get thee down to the ballpark because it'll be one of your last, I was going to say one of your last chances. It will in fact be your fifth last chance or your sixth last chance. Sixth last chance to see the Blue Jays this season. I didn't even realize this. The Atlanta Braves, when they fired Frank Wren yesterday as their general manager, haven't fired a general manager or manager since 1990. This was the first time this franchise has dismissed a GM or manager in like 24 years. I mean, that's remarkable. Mark Bradley is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's columnist. Mark Bradley joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Mr. Bradley, how are you, sir?
Fine, Mr. Blair.
I know I still owe you a toonie.
And my second, the second greatest Canadian sports writer, other than Scott Young, in my estimation. Oh. So I'm honored to be on.
I appreciate you.
I hope this obviates my $2 toonie debt.
No, yeah, you hope it what? Obviates?
Obviate. I think that. Yeah, that's a, I don't know what that means.
No, that's an American word. It doesn't matter.
Maybe.
It doesn't matter.
It may not be a word.
that's okay. He wouldn't be the first writer to make up a word. I used to do it all the time. Let me explain to you how I spelled, how I referred to somebody working in the Canadian penal system one time, how I spelt it, and we can talk about that. Anyhow, so what happened to lead the Atlanta Braves to make this decision? I'm not used to seeing the Braves firing anybody at this particular level.
This is your point about it being 24 years is resonates with me greatly because my older daughter is 24 and she was born 3 days after they fired Russ Nixon in 1990.
Right.
And we're talking about we're talking about a person who has gone from being a baby to being out of college career woman. So it's been a long time. This season has not gone the way the Braves expected. They knew they were going to be strapped for starting pitching after losing two starting pitchers in spring training to Tommy John surgery, but the pitching has been unbelievably good. They lead all of baseball in quality starts. I think, they had another one last night. Mm-hmm. I think they have 108 quality starts this year, and they won 76 games. Their offense is the second worst in baseball, only ahead of the Padres. And they really have not had any injuries there. This is a team with Jason Hayward and Justin Upton and Freddie Freeman and Evan Gattis and. You know, you would think that team would be able to hit a little bit, but it hasn't hit at all. And the lineup construction that Frank Wren thought he had done apparently is going to need to be redone. But in the press conference yesterday, John Schuerholz, who's still the president of the team, went to great lengths to say that he felt that the Braves' way had been lost and that they were talking about more than just the major league team. They were talking about player development and scouting and all parts of the baseball operation. And I think what we saw was a pretty much a blanket indictment of the Frank Wren method of running a baseball operation, that they didn't like necessarily the direction it was headed, I think the only thing that kept this from happening earlier was the fact that, as of last week, the Braves had the best record in the National League since 2010. The Cardinals have since gone ahead of them there by a game or two. But, I mean, this is a team that had made the playoffs three times in 4 years, had to blow it big time in 2011 not to make it,
mm-hmm.
and has fallen apart in September of this year, or else it would be right in the mix again. So, you know, I think what we're seeing is that the Braves organization or the higher ups in it had serious misgivings about the method that was being employed here. But what happened was that the record was still not supporting a firing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the record went bad, they saw the opportunity and they took it.
Yet Freddie Gonzalez survives. How much of that is his relationship with Bobby Cox, who's, you know, still obviously a significant player in that organization?
79% of it would be his okay. relationship with Bobby Cox. Now, I think that most of it. I think that, and I don't know that that's undeserved. I think that Bobby has a real feel for managing. Obviously, he was pretty good at it, and I think that he feels like that Freddie is pretty good at it too. And you know, Freddie's record has been very good too. He had made the playoffs. Two out of the first 3 years as the Braves manager, and the last 2 years they've won 94 and 96 games. This year they're going to be lucky to break 500. And if you're looking to if you're keeping score, this would be two major September collapses that they've had under Freddie. Then they were 9-18 in September of 2011, and they're 4-15 this time, which is pretty hard to be, but they are. And you know, I think that were it not for Bobby Cox's very strong backing, we might have seen an across the board change yesterday. But Bobby Cox is still a very big man in the Braves hierarchy, and he's on the transition team, which includes Sherholtz and the interim GM John Hart, who used to be with Cleveland and the Rangers, and had come on here as a consultant over the winter. And he's going to be the interim GM.
Mark, it was good of you to do this today. Wish we had more time, but the clock is not our ally this morning.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You sound like you beat it. Take care, Mark.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That is Mark Bradley, columnist of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's a Canadian. Would you call it a Canadianophile? He's a big Neil Young fan. He was so excited. Every time the Montreal Expos would come into town, he would write this column about how great Canada was, how cool Canada was. Seriously, it was amazing. And then he'd list all these cool things about Canada. Terrific music fan, by the way. He had a friend. I know we'd take a break. He had a friend. This is how old I am. I remember when CDs first came in existence. He had a friend who worked for a recording company in Atlanta. And this guy, I mean, he would get bootleg recordings on discs of everybody, Red Hot Chili Peppers, all this stuff. So every time I used to go out to Atlanta, Bradley knew I liked music. He'd be like dropping 20 of these things on me. Anyhow. Little bit of background there. And I do, in fact, owe him a toonie. So it looks like there's going to be a World Cup of hockey. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet confirming today that he has been told by a high-level source that September 15th, October 1st, 2016 are the working dates for the reborn World Cup of hockey. He has nothing confirmed yet, but I think we can safely say there will be a World Cup of hockey in 2016. This, along with that report in SI. .com. Greg Wyshynski, or as we refer to him, Mr. Puck Daddy, will join us at 11 o'clock to talk about the World Cup of Hockey. And we're going to take your calls. I like the idea. I'd rather have a World Cup of Hockey than the Olympics, to be honest. I got some thoughts about that. We'll get your thoughts as well. This is a Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.